so does Larry. Larry, do you want to introduce yourself quickly?
Sure. I'm Larry Witzling. I'm also work at Grape. I moved here in 73. I retired from teaching at UWM a couple of years ago after about 40 years, architecture, landscape architecture, and planning. And now I just work. I've been doing private practice and planning work here since the late 80s, and this is really a great project.
Okay, so we'll try and make it quick, but we're excited to kind of talk about the process before us. So if you do have questions, don't hesitate to jump in and let us know as we go. But the goal of this process is to develop a comprehensive long-term plan for the domes, as Bill, Mr. Chair already described. And the core elements of this long-term plan, we'll be looking at the programming, the facility, and potential financing. We'll be kind of filling in this box together as we move forward. This is kind of a proposed timeline for our work together and the phases. The timing may shift just based on how frequently we meet and what we're able to cover in the meetings. This is kind of a draft proposal for that. In phase one, where we are right now, we're really exploring ideas and options. Everything is on the table, and we're really gathering feedback. And there will be feedback throughout, but this is really the most instrumental time where we really consider all of the options and talk everything through. So we're here now, tonight, which is a big kickoff for this process. And there will no doubt be a lot of engagement efforts with the community at large to gather ideas and inform them on what we've learned tonight together as well. There will be town halls and public hearings. There is an online survey right now, and that will continue and be updated throughout the process, and of course there will be regular updates. The outcome of this initial process is that we'll have some narrowed options. No doubt some of the options on the table right now just may not make sense, and so we may decide together with the community's feedback and narrow those. Phase two will have ideally 1 to 3 options where we'll be able to kind of dive further into them and consider alternatives within them and feasibility and cost. There will be further community vetting throughout the process and input and regular updates. And finally, hopefully, there will be a request or proposal to develop a specific plan that complements whichever option we choose or multiple options at that point. And phase three will be really, further developing that option and the alternatives within. And there will be a proposal that this task force develops together based on all the community feedback and the consensus that you build together, a proposal to the County Board of Supervisors and the County Executive. So the key elements of community engagement right now, there are a lot of stakeholders in this very diverse community. Obviously, this facility represents a lot culturally, not only the plant life here and the education opportunities, but also the architecture. There's tourism involved. This obviously is an opportunity for the neighborhood right here and the park that it's within and surrounding businesses. And there's a lot of partnership potential. So there are really a lot of stakeholders here in the community whose opinions we want to mine for ideas on how we want to move together. And that will all feed into the long-range plan. If we are missing any key stakeholder groups from the bubbles, let us know. We've been adding on. We want to be inclusive here.
So there is no one best way to do public engagement. For as long as I've been doing it, it used to not even be a government requirement to do. Now it's almost required in every process. But the key for us is actually reaching out to groups, not just having them come to you, but actually going out and meeting people in the community and working with them. And that's really sometimes very, very difficult. So you see some of the ideas on the left, but this is actually a kind of may actually be a public meetings question. If we're going out or somebody representing the task force goes out to a meeting, say, of a Rotary or a neighborhood group, and it's just one person and presents what's going on, is that a public meeting that requires record? We'll get the answer later, but the point is to actually reach out to these groups and be on their agenda so that you can actually hear what they say. Because just getting folks to come to these meetings is great, but there's that other level of interest that you really need to meet with a group of historic preservationists, a group of horticulturalists, a group of school teachers, all that sort of stuff. And so that's what we're hoping to do. We've already done quite a bit of it here in the run-up to this meeting. We hope to be able to continue that type of work. And again, it's the focus groups, guest presentations, one-on-one meetings, interviews. I've never, if any of you work with me, you know that I have very strong opinions about what architecture should be. But I have never been involved in any of these processes where I didn't hear something that changed the way I thought about the solution. And to me, that's the key, is that we find these ideas that make us all think differently about what we should do.
Right now, there is an online survey, and I know we have a comment card over in the back there that you can grab with that online survey link if you haven't had an opportunity to take a look. We have had a lot of participation in that already, and there will be ongoing, that will be ongoing throughout this process. But in terms of increasing accessibility, we will have opportunities for the meetings for folks to come to us, but also kind of taking the show on the road, if you will, where park staff will be going to groups to gather feedback and kind of present to them about it. But no doubt also further paper surveys are important too for increasing accessibility, because not everybody has access to the online survey, but we will do everything we can to make this process really accessible and engaging for everyone. And here's just a few other examples. No doubt there are going to be opportunities where we are going to want some expert interviews. We're going to want to talk to other conservatories, of which some of that has taken place, to kind of learn a little bit as to what challenges they also are going through if they're an aging facility as well, and how they, as a community, go forth with this. And here's kind of our outline of engagement to date. Again, just want to reiterate, all of this information is available online and will be available online throughout the process. We did have a listening session at the Show Dome opening on April 30th, right here in the lobby, which was really fruitful and a great way to kind of kick off engagement, and no doubt will continue. We at Night Market were recently there, and we're also kind of advertising the online survey and talking to folks, which was really, really fantastic and fun to kind of go out in the community where people are gathering and kind of, you know, gather feedback more organically that way. And these conversation cards are available, from my understanding, at a lot of different facilities throughout the community, including some of the municipal hall buildings. So they're, you know, it's out there, and we're getting a lot of engagement that way, which is great.
So as we help the task force in these engagement procedures, the key is, again, to explore the different options to help try to set priorities. We're going to be doing two or three public workshops. And then as the direction that you want to proceed in is being chosen, we'll be doing more public workshops and charrettes, and we'll have a revised online survey. When we started this, when we did our first meeting, we tried to outline what the options were. That lasted about an hour. And then the next meeting, we outlined the options in a different way. That lasted a couple of days. And we redefined the way to describe and categorize the options. And that list on the left, the programming, the functions you want, what kind of structure does the community want, and what should the cost and revenue framework be, which are all embedded in your charter, in the mission statement that was read. In our minds, that doesn't define the options, but that defines the way you can think about the options. You can enter the options in any one of those categories. You can talk about how to finance it, what it should be like as a structure, what it should be like functionally. And what we've seen happen as people talk about these things, no matter which way you start, you always wind up thinking about all three. And hopefully as you get to that final direction, that's what will be a key set of variables. And then the second part, phase two, is choosing that direction in terms of the public support, how each of the options meets those three sets of categories, programming, facility, and financial, and what might be missing.
So we're going to kind of jump into a proposal for future meetings. This is draft, absolutely, but just to kind of give you a flavor of some of the considerations and what you'll be learning as we go through this process to make that final recommendation. So next meeting, there's been a lot of reference to this cost report, and that should be ready for the next meeting, and so that will no doubt be kind of the centerpiece of that next meeting. And also some discussion of possible financing options and affordability. We will give you an update on feedback from the community to date, and the group can kind of draw some draft criteria for consideration on how to narrow those options and what the priorities are for that. Meeting three could potentially be case studies, of which there have been some that have taken place about other conservatories regionally and nationally and even internationally, so that we can kind of learn from them as to what, just best practices and learn from some of their challenges as well, and feedback to date, which that'll be a reoccurring theme, obviously, at each meeting. You'll learn more about that. And further final decision criteria, hopefully by meeting three, the task force will be in agreement on how that option will be selected. No doubt it won't be selected yet there, but there will be a preliminary short list of options, hopefully. Meeting four could potentially be the start of phase two, and I think I don't want to jump too far here because I know Mr. Chairman and others will want to kind of discuss this a little bit more instead, the frequency of meeting and how we can accomplish all of this. But phase two would kind of consist of confirming those final options for further study, because no doubt we will need to drill further into them in order to finalize that final option. And determine those issues that we need further analysis for, and identify all of the staff we're going to need in order to do all of that research and accomplish and get all that information we'll need, and determine that community engagement plan for phase two. And meeting five would be reviewing results of these analyses that will have been taking place, continuing the review of community feedback, and review that decision criteria. And phase two would conclude with reviewing open issues, confirming the decision criteria, and finally developing that recommendation that would be sent to county leadership. And as we go, things will unfold based on what options we choose ultimately. But are there any questions?
Is the online survey and the comment cards in Spanish also?
The online survey is not at the moment. The comment cards are bilingual right now, but I mean, it just simply says, feedback. It's pretty straightforward, but we work on all of that. And that is the goal of the public meetings, would be bilingual, because we know that's really crucial to this. So, yeah.
Is there a time estimate when the Spanish version will be released?
I can't speak to that, unfortunately, no, but we can work on that and get back to you.
Kind of a process. Most of us here are not engineers or estimators.
bit of that with some case studies that we picked rather randomly, but you look at some of them and say, that's pretty amazing, and then here's the cost.
if I may, Mr. Chair, I think that's personally my principal concern with talking about the 2008 cost estimates next meeting, in that level of detail. Comparing the conservatories that exist around the United States, maybe something we want to do before that, but I would leave it up to this task force, because when you start going down into option 1 through 5 on how to repair the domes, as far as I'm concerned, you skipped a step in the architectural process. We should know that information, but we should have that discussion. What are the conservatories like in Pittsburgh, and San Antonio, and Des Moines, and what in Germany, and what's the vision out there? And then also include in that, folded into that, what you're saying. So I see the spectrum and blips on the map of what the domes would cost to renovate across that spectrum. And so I just think that is a further discussion we need to have. What's the right time to talk in detail about this cost estimate?
If we are, in fact, charged with having open minds here, then that has to include something new.
Absolutely.
Well, I think we should not get too limited by looking at dollar figures that will keep us from understanding what the possibilities are.
Yep.
So I think we should treat any report next time on the options that you're going to identify as preliminary, and maybe give us a ballpark or some kind of a frame of reference. Because I think I agree that it will limit our consideration of our range of options. If we all of a sudden say, have as a criteria, anything that costs more than $50 million is not worthy of consideration. Because it may turn out that we need to spend more on this facility to net out kind of community benefit that we want to have. We may have to invest more than just the direct cost of repair in order to come up with a result that makes sense for the community in terms of its impact on the community, including its costs, but not determined by its costs.
Ourselves on what the numbers mean and all that stuff like that too. And then the other point is the historic nature of this building being up in the air, how long does that take? And if we do get a local or state or federal designation, how do we add that into whatever decision we make too, right? I guess a couple different things. We need to have some time frames if possible. And then have that those reports beforehand.
So before we go down the, I'm sorry, before we go down the road of historic designation, it would be kind of nice to know how that's going to affect the options that we're choosing or looking at.
Right, because then we can give 40% restoration dollars maybe if we get those designations. That might not be the actual number, but 40% is a big savings for $50 million. That's more something that the public can swallow or however you plan on paying for this, whatever. That's going to take, another 9 months or so. Do we try to wait and see, or is there a way to expedite that process? And
So we can definitely share with you when it's ready. Obviously, that is predicated by when this group meets next. Where we don't want to hold it from public record, but I consider it to be one of 10 to 15 tools in the toolbox that this group needs. And so I just, as the chairman so well pointed out, I don't want it to drive any decisions we make in the future because it came to the show first.
Well, I'm interested in how many repair options you would be, is there only one repair option, and are there perhaps different options that could be considered based on what other conservatories are doing? Is there only one estimate on cost of repair?
In the our entire charge here is to look at way beyond what that report provides. That is not an architectural design of the new facility that serves Milwaukee. That is a look at costs relating to fixing these domes, which may further other discussions.
That's what I'm talking about.
I understand the question, though, would be, are there a range of different restoration options that are under consideration? In your presentation, you had option 1 through 4, but you didn't tell us what those are.
Yes, that's correct. So those are, if I can remember verbatim, 1 was replacing broken windows, 2 was, I think, replacing all windows and correcting framing. You know, it just goes in further iterations. To 4 was restoring the entire superstructure. To 5 was replacing the entire frame with no concrete frame. There are definitely elements for each piece for this facility. What we didn't get into was the reprogramming of a new facility. So same size square footage, a geodesic dome, a conoidal dome, and a rectangular building with glass roof. What are the costs of that?
I guess my question is sort of more about expertise. Is there other expertise that Grave may not know about that could offer a restoration solution that you wouldn't be able to estimate because you're not familiar with that restoration solution?
I would say, again, we looked at, yes, there could be expertise, absolutely. And that's where we want to really, we can engage the public through that community engagement process. We can also do it through RFPs and construction approaches. So through a design competition, through going out through an RFP to say, we have a concrete spalling issue, what ingenious ideas are out there? I mean, there's a lot of options for us to go. And that's why we had to stop where we did with that cost estimate, because it just became a project with no PD. I don't have the direction that the task force is going to provide. We can go a lot of different directions.
Yes, it's my understanding, and I have with some people involved, that the National Trust for Historic Preservation has sent some engineering experts to take a look at the domes and their condition to help formulate some kind of analysis of what options might be available. And I think that's just wonderful if we can get that national broad outside input into the process. We'll just have a lot more that we can.
I think John listed also a lot of different, spoke to a lot of manufacturers. It's not just the engineers, it's also the people who manufacture the window and the framing systems that you engineer for. And then the other related issue that was mentioned was energy savings, because that's a big variable, and then functionality. What are you going to use the dome for? That can also vary. So it's not just the engineering expertise, it's the manufacturing expertise, it's the financials, and it's the program.
Right, and when you see the report, 80-plus pages, a lot of that's been done. Working with vendors who supply and construct domes, working with vendors who recoat concrete. So a lot of it's in there. My hesitation was just focusing our conversation on how we renovate these structures and skipping the portion we talked about earlier, which is what is best for Milwaukee in terms of the structure.
So what the National Trust has arranged for is a peer review of the Grave Report, and they would get a final report out after reviewing Grave's final report. But it's a peer review. I guess another thing that I'm interested in terms of if we're looking at numbers, is there some way to get a economic What is the economic impact of the domes? Because I don't see that number in our equation as we're looking at it. That there's a quality of life, there's tourism dollars that it generates, and that's not going to show up just in income, revenue, and expense. And so I'm wondering if we can somehow get that information included.
Yeah, that would be it. That should definitely be something that's looked at. We're hoping that as the presentations are made, some are being made to the tourism groups and others, and there are ways to estimate those expenditures. I think Sandy has data on where the visitors come from, and that can be factored in there. But that, I don't think that's been done yet.
No, we have information. I mean, we've worked with the Tourism Bureau. We've worked, so it's obviously the domes were built with the value of the residents that live here. To put a tangible dollar amount on that, that's a John, do you know?
No, except for we were just saying maybe we reach out to visit Milwaukee or Public Policy Forum. They've done a number of studies as well that may give us some light on
I mean, there's been conversation, but to my knowledge, no hard figures. When you talk about economic viability here, we bring visitors to the structure, 200,000 a year, Michelle, and the impact is they go on National Avenue to eat. They use the park. So there is this flow over of dollars being spent in the community just by the very nature of people coming to this neighborhood. It's kind of a hard number to get your
That is an area of expertise of some economists. They do economic impact analysis, so things like this. So
I have two more questions. Do we know the people that come, how many are from what county, and how far our experts go?
We started taking zip codes. We started logging in zip codes when we got a new register system about a year and a half ago.
Right.
So up until then, we didn't have a way to document that. Conservatory in this community is highly desired, but there is openness to new facility, and of course there's openness to maintaining the facility as it is. There's also openness to this facility continuing, but a conservatory being in another structure. The openness is boundless. One of my favorite moments was a listening session here, where there was a couple. It was towards the end of the session. They filled out paper surveys. And later on, when we went to go process that feedback, this couple had completely different opinions on the matter. And they were very, you know, agreeable while they were going through the exhibit, but I was thinking, do they even realize how differently they feel about this matter? So, to me, it was just a good takeaway that I wouldn't say the community is necessarily divided, but there really is a very broad array of opinion, which I think is really exciting, actually, and I know that makes our charge here challenging, but it's a good challenge that I think we can take on and build consensus around. So
I would say that the vast majority of the people who we speak to at these meetings, they start off thinking there's really their favorite, here's what you should do. And they almost all leave thinking, well, there's a lot of other things that could happen too. I mean, they do open up their minds to many different choices, which isn't always the case in many of these kinds of projects, and we think that that's pretty amazing and bodes well for the task force. And I just wanted to also mention about the economic impact. When you look at the case studies, you can look at the costs, but you can also look at the revenues, and those begin to imply certain factors regarding economic impact. If there's a conservatory, I mean, what's happened here has been absolutely phenomenal, but limited in many ways. When you look at some of the other conservatories which don't have those limitations, you get a sense of the potential for that economic impact. And of course, the social impact is very, very difficult to measure.
How do you propose that this task force will learn of the results of community engagement? How will we find out what good ideas came forward, or how will we get feedback from process of engagement?
We're going to try and tell you. It's a real challenge in communication, but we'll have reports, we'll have records of what was said. We'll try to summarize it. We'll try to be mindful of your time commitments. We'll try to make sure that if you have specific areas that each of you want to investigate, we'll try to make sure that that information is available. In many ways, it'll be the task force will determine how to use our time.
Who processes that data is has yet to be determined ultimately, but there has been a lot of discussion. For instance, if there's a meeting hit the road and you know there are different groups met with, their feedback could be kind of compiled together, but also kind of separately, so we could present to the group, this is what Visit Milwaukee and their constituent businesses feel makes sense to them based on what they learned and what they discussed at roundtables, for instance, just one example, or the Clark Square neighborhood. You know, perhaps there's focus groups there no doubt will be at some point, and this is kind of their opinion, so that we can kind of learn about perspective across the community, but also that can kind of be compiled ultimately as well. But that is yet to be determined ultimately, and we'll all no doubt have some determination to make on how you get that reported back to you.
What do you see as an appropriate role for the members of this task force in the community engagement process?
Well, there's a lot of roles,
yeah.
But certainly to lead it, in a sense, and give it the direction. I mean, we can do many of these different things, but we need the direction from the task force. The second is if you can identify groups that you think need to be definitely brought into the process. We have a meeting in the, I think we spoke about it the last time, the meeting in the box concept, where we have a packaged PowerPoint that can be delivered by individuals, not just us, but members of the task force, members of the community.
Park staff would probably be
staff.
The primary staff members that would kind of be presenting that ultimately. But we would also lean on you. You know, for instance, a lot of you represent different groups, and so we would hope that you would host engagement and maybe still work hand-in-hand with park staff or other county staff ultimately, but that you would kind of help facilitate some of that as well.
One of the things that is important for the task force is educating the community, because there's still a lot of emotion in regards to the closure of the facility and that. And with the information that's gathered, how do we communicate to the community, here's what it's going to cost you and what the options are? Not only do we have to look at the fixed cost of repair, so let's say there's four options. What is the ongoing variable cost to heat the facility? If there's no difference between the options and that ongoing cost is the same, it doesn't mean anything. But what if between two different options, the heating cost is reduced in half? That's going to be a factor for us to make a decision as to what's the most appropriate investment we're going to make into the facility. So a huge part of us is making sure that information gets out to the community.
Well, it seems to me that if task force members are going to play a role as second chairing these presentations or facilitating them, then we'll need to be trained on how to do that. So that we can see who's not
to be clear, we weren't expecting everybody on the task force to give these presentations. Sometimes it was just a question of someone on the task force saying, I've got this group over here. I think a presentation should be made. Someone from the task force shows up. Someone from County Park staff delivers the presentation.
Right, so kind of facilitate maybe the setup of the meeting and no doubt presence there. Yeah.
If you all attend a meeting that's being conducted by the consultants or park staff, that's the kind of meeting where we have to have notice. You may decide that a better course of doing things is to select among you a representative to attend each of the different community meetings and report back to the task force as a whole. For those of you who have roles with community organizations outside of your involvement in the task force, we may want to have a follow-up discussion about record keeping. If you need to segregate what records are your community organization's records, which records are the task force's records, it's something we should sort out sooner rather than later so that you know what the expectations are and can keep things well delineated. If that's helpful, if anybody has questions about that, let me know.
I don't anticipate any of these presentations attracting four of us, but maybe they will. Maybe this one that we all want to go to, and we follow your advice and noticing that.
So I think I have three things. Actually, earlier, I think you might not have been in the room, there was a question as to whether these presentations should be noticed.
Oh, I was, yes.
Oh.
She was here.
I was here. Well, it depends. So if you are attending, if a quorum of the task force attends a meeting, even if it's hosted by a community organization, a neighborhood association, it needs to be noticed as a task force meeting, and those same requirements that we went through will apply. It needs to be held in a place that's accessible to the public. Some of those limitations, there may be limitations by the host of your community meetings that have to be considered, or you have to change venues or do something in order to meet the requirements of the open meetings law. For this body, if one of you attends, that would not make it a public meeting.
Or
two or
three, that's not six.
Or
couldn't
four.
It be as simple as having a list of the meetings that we can sort of choose from and then notify the chairman if we're going, and if we get to the quorum, we say, oh, back off?
That's exactly right. That was my best advice to you is, if you think it might relate to the work of this task force, notify the chairman of your intention to participate or attend, and he can work through our office and with your staff to determine if a notice is needed. It's always better to notice and err on the side of caution and make sure that it's in a facility that's accessible, open to the public.
The most common case we've seen is there's an organization like a local youth group, a boys club, a church group, something like that. One of you knows them and they say, hey, they'd be really interested in hearing about the Dulles. And maybe one person from the task force is there. We're put on the agenda for 10 minutes and the task force gets to reach a group of people fairly intensely who would never come to a bigger meeting. And that's really, really valuable for you to get that kind of feedback. So that's what we're sort of envisioning.
So could you provide the task force with your box presentation? Do you have a PowerPoint that you can...
Yeah.
Did you say you have a presentation about...
Yeah, we can show it to you next time.
And the idea is that you would all vet that and kind of approve that ultimately to
And then also, can we be apprised of the public outreach that you're doing, like John suggested?
Yeah. We can show you what's happened in the past and all that stuff. The idea is to get the task force up to speed as fast as we possibly can.
So we would be notified.
Excuse me?
They have a schedule of upcoming meetings as well, correct?
Right. And there aren't any right now. They've all been put on pause so that we as a group can decide everything as we go forward.
Well, I would recommend that you circulate to the members of this body the presentation materials
Sounds good.
In similar. I have a question about that. And we can try to refine that without waiting for the next meeting.
That sounds great.
And if we get a kind of a, have given everybody on the task force an option to respond and feel it's refined, we can adopt it as a task force effort.
We would love that. Our original vision was to present it tonight to you, but we just thought it was going to be information overload.
And when you do get it, just understand the meeting in a box probably has, it probably over communicates some things, because when you go out on the road, you're never going to know exactly what people want to hear or see. And so the idea is that there's a lot of information, and depending on who the audience is, you can cut down on parts of it. It's very hard to expand it, but it's easy to collapse it.
But we tried our best to do a one-size-fits-all presentation that's accessible and exciting to everyone. So let us know. We really do need your feedback.
Do you have anything further?
About the case studies, our idea was to get very, very quick thumbnail sketches. So we had a list of about 20 variables, I think, to find out about, you know, how many donors do you have? How much did you raise last year? How many, you know, all that kind of stuff. A lot of that information is online. So we just grabbed all the low-lying fruit, so it's not comprehensive. But it's just very interesting to broaden everybody's view of what's out there in the world of conservatories.
Right.
It's really quite amazing. That was our intention.
Right.
We can certainly send that to you, but
if you
call back and say, how come you don't know how much money they raised here or over there, we can't tell you that.
That'd be interesting to have that and maybe links to where those sources were so we could just see this this view of what's best out there internationally.
It's all online.
Yep. So we can certainly share that with you. Just take it with that grain of salt that there's a lot more to be learned, and we were limited in time, so we weren't able to call each facility and interview them in detail. A few of them that we did call when we asked a little bit more about breakdowns, they weren't always able to supply that information, and so it's very valuable, but there are some limitations, so just know that when you review it. Yeah.
Perhaps something to put in the list is kind of to get down the road is a curated list.
I noticed on the timeline that all the community engagement meetings would be done by December. Is that realistically
not anymore?
Feasible?
No.
Okay.
We can't answer that.
Yeah. Most likely not. The original vision was perhaps, but timelines always take longer, don't they? So we'll be readjusting.
The phasing that we adopted, we looked at earlier, is regarding that. Sorry, I'm stretched
out. Just to note, that was for phase one, and we're proposing 3 phases, so yeah. But phase one will be extended, no doubt.
Bill, this the county board resolution, line 97 specifies that the task force shall provide a written recommendation to the Parks Committee no later than the September 2016 cycle, which was
over.
So last month.
Before we were formed.
Right.
Okay.
So we're already behind this, but I'm not concerned about getting the letter of the law.
That was adopted in March. It'll be on the October agenda.
So we have no trouble with that deadline.
I think we have outlined
quite a list of additional information that we'd like to have in various sources in various ways, and we will have an extensive meeting if we get that information. I think we should go ahead and before we do this, I would like to bring back before us the matter of
work and the cost to do the work for the public engagement process.
Any further discussion?
Bill. Is that above and beyond what has already been performed with public engagements? Is it in addition to this? Is it repeating what has been done?
We'll use the work that's already been done that we've already expended before the board's resolution. We actually, of the, it used to be $150,000, we encumbered $30,000 to do the current work up to this date. Yeah. And now we've got to look at, okay, what's, you know, here's the balance, and then what's the rest of the work that Grafe is going to do, and what's that cost?
Very good.
So we'll use already the information that we've already gotten work from Grafe.
So this would be for, this resolution covers work in the future by Grafe on community engagement. We're not assuming any responsibility for past expenditure stuff up to
right,
today.
Exactly.
We didn't exist.
Right. Grafe has presented, Larry and Tanya have presented to the Parks Committee previously. I appreciated the presentation. Look forward to seeing more. Looking forward to reaching conclusions.
So with that clarification, is there any further discussion, or are we ready to vote?
Mr. Chairman, we don't have an action item.
No, we don't. No. All of these are info items.
That's true.
Appointing Grafe to work, so
we're recommending.
It's still not on the agenda.
It needs to.
There's no action item
on the next agenda. The next agenda will have.
Can't you start in August?
That for the next agenda, you're going to have an item.
In order
well,
to.
We have on the agenda.
In order for this to be an action item, it would have to be noticed on the next agenda that this will be the topic and that. This will be a recommendation from this task force. A vote will go to the board relative to this, germane to this issue, but it's
no,
not agendized technically.
I think we can table this motion and bring it back at the next meeting after the negotiations have been successful.
Do we therefore have to rescind our adoption of the mission statement?
No.
It's an action item.
Well, we have a notice here. What's the mission? You know, it seems to me maybe I need some clarification on whether an action item means that you is any kind of action taken, even approving a report or receive a treasurer's report. Is that an action item?
For something as large as a board, or they're not a group.
Yes.
In order to have something, you have to have certain notice.
Right.
There's no notice. Yeah, you have to certainly notice that you were planning to make a motion.
Because even on our action on our items of information, we say information only unless otherwise directed by the committee. That's the caveat. You want me to explain?
Yeah, let me get some interpretation on the current board's resolution on actions that this task force has to do with recommending the use of Grafe and expending money from the long-range planning account. That's the question. Does this task force have that binding authority to make a recommendation or action item for the board to consider retaining Grafe for this long-range plan and expending money from that account that they want set aside for long-range planning? I don't know the interpretation of the resolution. Okay.
Yeah, I see that because that's very official action. Your notice is national to give notice that we're going to do that. So that's why I'm suggesting that we postpone action on the pending motion until we can properly notice I have ruled the motion out of order because of failure to meet the requirements of the public.
So should we be with
meetings?
Should we withdraw or should we never be
the meetings law. And
it should be.
So it's out of order, so it's not going to be acted on.
Yes, now
we can give proper notice of the item at a future meeting and resurrect the motion, but we can't take formal action on it now. At the same time, as background for a future meeting, we can determine with grace if we did consider that at our next meeting, what would be the cost and what would be the time frame and what would be the scope of work that would be involved, so that we move to a status at the next meeting where we can, and my guess is that they'll keep working on the basis that we'll get this figured out.
Okay.
On the basis that, you know, there's a good chance they're going to end up getting paid. Is that?
Sure, that's fine.
So I've ruled the motion that I asked for out of order, and there it sits. That's it where we are.
Chairman,
Yes.
I think the cleanest way to go about it procedurally would just be for Mr. Gerda to withdraw his motion, and then that takes it off the table so that in our next meeting, when the item does come before us as an action item, then we can take a proper motion on it. But that's just a suggestion.
Motion withdrawn.
Okay, the motion's withdrawn.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I want a clarification about speaking to the media, because if any of this task force speaks to the media, I want to make sure that they understand that if it's coming from the task force or if it's coming from them personally. So as a task force here, my preference would be that we wouldn't speak individually. What does the committee feel?
That was the fifth person that 58 or the Fox 6 followed today. Everybody else was gone. So I said, yeah, we're meeting. So you know, keep the open minds and kind of looking at it. So.
Well, probably we should funnel task force responses to the press. Was that we come into this without any predisposition. So even if you may have a personal view of where you think this is going to go, I think at this time it's best for all of us as individuals as well as a task force generally to say that we're going to all the options and what comes out. try to meet with them within a month.
Maybe should we look at the first week or the second week of December?
What about that edition for Thanksgiving?
You can send a representative. It doesn't specify. It says the task force shall be comprised of 11 members or their designee.
Well, you can.
So you can have a designee.
Yes, you can have a designee.
I sure hope we'll have
my number.
It's line number 85, 86.
But does that designee need to be approved by? Didn't the board approve the members on the task force?
No.
The members of the task force is general, so that's why we don't usually do names in resolutions, because if things change or there needs to be fluidity.
But we got personal appointments.
Right.
True. But that's why the designee language is there in case of situations where a personal person cannot attend.
I know I received a packet, but this is thick.
County clerk's office
will do the minutes,
do and post the minutes publicly so that they'll be available.
There's also audio available as well.
Chairman Lynch, that date is available.
All right, so we've set the next meeting date, and that's often the longest agenda. I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Meeting adjourned.